Isn't the Lord good? Amen. His mercies endure forever unto every generation. Not just to this generation, not just to the first generation, but it continues on. And it never will give up or give out or quit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Get my notes opened up here. Praise the Lord. And the Lord sure been moving around here these past few months and weeks. Just a continuation. It just never quits. That's the way His mercy is. Anytime there's somebody or someone that is hungry. Is anybody hungry here tonight? I wasn't talking about for food after church. I'm talking about, are you hungry for the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. Well, guess what? You can be fed here tonight. I'd like for all the young people to move outside of their comfort zone. Those of you that has found a place that's not on the front, I'd like to invite you to come move up to the front pew, if you don't mind. Sister Pepper, I'm sorry you're one of the elders. You'll have to go to the back. Amen. I'm teasing. Amen. See, look at all the smiling faces. Excited to move to the front. Amen. We're going to start. Oh, Brother Jason moved to the front. I missed that. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Tim, you'll just have to stand tonight. And if you got your Bibles with you this evening, amen, I want to start reading in Matthew chapter number 18, verse 18. I'm not going to try and hold us long tonight. Amen. I was told to be short. Amen. So I'll try to be sweet along with it. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 18. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Amen. Brother Isaac, will you come real quick here, buddy? What's that, Jason? Brother Jason, if you would you read verse number 18 for us here real quick? I'm going to let you hold the mic. I want you to quote that for me.
"Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Amen. Here, come on over here, Isaac. Lydia, do you like to lead your brother around? I'm busy. Here, let me make sure I can get this good and tight here. It said, "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth." That's not too tight, is it, Isaac? How about now? Here we go. You got to get full control here. All right. There we go. That way you can hold it, not step on it. I want to simply preach this. There's a lot of things. Don't put my title up yet. There's a lot of things. I want to give us an example here tonight. There's a lot of things that we bind that we should have never bound. I'm going to go a different direction with this message tonight. Amen. Just stand right there, Isaac. Be an illustration, a living illustration tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to share your gospel. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to your people. I pray that you'd prepare these altars, Lord. Let them be a place where living sacrifices is laid down. Lord, I pray here tonight as we start and kick off, God, for this camp meeting that we're fixing to have, Lord, you've been moving in hearts and lives. Don't let anything hinder it. The things that might hinder it, we bind them, Lord, and we set right now our minds open and free, Lord, that you might minister and speak to us, that we might do your will. I pray that you'd open up our blinded eyes, unstop our deafened ears. I pray and help us to do your will according to your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight except for Brother Isaac. Amen. As I was thinking about this scripture, go ahead and leave that up there, Brother Tim, if you don't mind. I was thinking about this scripture, Jesus, as he was talking there, and as he was declaring to everyone that was around about them, he said, I tell you that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this means that there is things, Brother Jason, that we can do, because I find in the next verse, go ahead and go to verse number 19, Brother Tim. Verse number 19, it says, I say unto you, again, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. And then verse number 20, it says, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there he is in our midst. So after Christ left this earth, I want us to go somewhere real quick. Let's go a little bit farther down Christ's life. He's crucified on the cross. He told the disciples, go tarry in a place, in an upper room, until you are endued with power. So what I find, Pastor, is the moment that I get full of the Holy Ghost, there's not just, once I'm saved, I've accepted Christ in my life. So I have Jesus, I have a King inside of me. But then, Sister Lindsay, whenever I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not defenseless anymore. Because what is the Holy Ghost? What is he? He is as a fire. He is as that one that can give us insight. He is the one, he is the military, he's the one in the military that comes up with all the strategies. That says, how is it when the enemy rises up against us like a flood, that there's all of a sudden there's a standard, there's a banner that begins to rise up and protect us. I find, Brother Jason, that I'm no longer alone, because guess what? I've got the Son living inside me. And I find in another place in the New Testament that there is a place and portion of that scripture. He says, know you not, Paul stating, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And guess what? Whenever I got the Holy Ghost inside of me, I'm not alone. It's not just me and Jesus, but we've got the Holy Ghost. And if there's Jesus that's sitting on the throne in my life, and if I'm a living temple to the Holy Ghost, and he's dwelling therein, there's two. And then if you get me in the mix, amen, I'm just the vehicle that he's chosen to use. And if I allow him to be mobilized inside of me, all of a sudden I find I'm not alone, but there's three of us in the mix. And then there's the Father looking down, seeing what work I'm trying to do, and he sees fit to open the door, because he finds that I'm not willing to bind the things that he has sent to set the captive free. Hallelujah. I want to see if I didn't give you my text yet. I want to simply preach on this thought. Amen. When the King is unshackled. When the King is unshackled. Now, Brother Isaac, don't get no grand scheming ideas that you're the King. As much as you would like that dear, sweet sister of yours to serve you, to fix your food and do your laundry, you're just an illustration, remember that. When the King is unshackled, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we, when God asks us to do something, we bind them. We sing that song, and I'm, you know, bind us together. Bind us together. Sometimes we use that song in the wrong form. Say, Lord, I bind these things because I don't want anything to do with them. We tie them up. Because we tie up the blessings of God here, they are tied there. Now, whenever you're looking for salvation, It's a free gift. But sometimes God pricks our heart and says, won't you come on down to the altar? But instead of coming to the altar, Brother Kennard, what do I find is we take binds and cords and chains and we bind those thoughts where it's going to cost us to humble ourselves. What do I find is that we begin to shackle the king inside of us. Now this word unshackled is where we also get this word loosed or loose. This is just a fancier word. It just sounds cooler than loose. So I want you to grab the context of this. Is that there is times and things in our life that God wants us to be free in. Salvation is free. He wants us to have it. The gift of the Holy Ghost is free. He wants us to have it. Do you know where the blessings come from? Holy Ghost, help me right here. It comes down from the Father of light where there is no shadow of turning. Amen. He's the one that gives us the gift. Amen. The gift of salvation was from His Son. The gift of the Holy Ghost was given when Christ went up and sent Him back down. We have those two things are present here in this earth. But I'm here to tell you there's things that God wants to bestow upon you, but you have to be willing to let them go and untie and say, Lord, I'm willing to unshackle Your kingdom in this vessel. Because what do I find? Jesus tells the disciples, pray to the Father, let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in this temple, in this physical form of a being that You've seen fit to build up as a temple to serve You. Hallelujah. I find throughout Scripture, there's all kinds of things that was tied up, Brother Jason. I chose Isaac for this very reason. This next story I'm going to share. I find that there was a man that was called to go to a place that he knew not whence it was or what it looked like. God told him, when you're there, you'll know it. Man named Abraham. Lo and behold, he had a boy named Isaac. Came a point in time in Abraham's life where Isaac was all that mattered. He showed him how important God was. But Isaac was, well, he was the promise. He was the seed that God promised him. And God required a test of Abraham. Take your son, your only son, and place him upon an altar, upon the mount. What do we find? Brother Isaac's carrying the lumber up and he's carrying the cord. There's no sacrifice. He's already been tied up, so he can't contest this. We find that he goes up to top of the mountain, places him up on the altar. Whatever way you can do it, buddy. I know that's not very comfortable. Places him there on the altar. And Abraham was at a point and a position in his life where he was very blessed. But he also had a requirement from God. There are things in your life that you've continued to let free that God said you have to bind that so that you might set me free. And as Abraham laid Isaac there on the altar and drew the knife, that way you don't think I'm going to use it. And as he went to slay him, the scripture says the angel of the Lord spoke to him. He didn't scream and holler and light the bush on fire. He said, Abram, stay thy hand. turn and look for the ram. The sacrifice has been provided. You've passed the test. And Abraham got his Isaac up off the altar, and he unshackled. Oh, Jesus, right now. The promise that God had given him. You'll have to finish that, buddy. And whenever he unshackled that promise, from that day forward, everywhere Isaac went, he said there was a ram that God had placed inside of a thicket in an area that was tangled up. That beast was strong. He was something that was to be feared, because a ram is not something to play around with. Brother Larry knows this from up where he's at. But there's someone that just doesn't get stuck. But God provided a sacrifice. He said, it's time for you to unloose, to untie, unbind the promise that I have given you. That's not just for this generation, but there's going to come a time that there's going to be a young man named David. And out of that lineage, out of that root of Jesse, there's going to be, amen, a man named Joseph. And he's going to be a father to my son. Amen. Here today I come to tell you that it's time to unshackle the king. It's time to let his promises flow, because Jesus, he is the one that paid the price that you might have the liberty and the opportunity to be blessed and have power with God. We find that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'm here to tell you tonight that in the mount, in the valley, no matter what shadows you might be under, what place of discouragement, amen, the Lord will be seen in that place if you will unshackle and allow God to begin to move inside of you. I find this isn't the only place something was loosed. We can look in Psalms, verse number, or chapter 146. I'm just going to read verse number 7. It says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He revealeth the fatherless and the widows, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even the God, O Zion, unto all generations. Amen. I want you to see in that verse number 7 and 8, he's the one that looses the prisoners. And he openeth the eyes of the blind, and he lifted them up that are bowed down. What do I find? I don't find this just in this one scripture, but I also find in another place. There was a man that had been cast in prison. He'd been placed there by the former king, and all of a sudden he had been there, and a new king came and started to reign named Evil Murdoch. And all of a sudden he said, there's a man that's in a prison house, and he is of a royal lineage. His name is Jehoiakim, and he's been there a long time. He's been beaten, bruised, and scorned, and cast down, and been in chains for all these years. But it's time for him to be unchained. He called to the prison and told them to bring him to the king's table. And he said, I'm going to give you a ration of food of the king's meat, not just for today, but until your last breath is taken upon this earth. You will be treated just as I was and just as I am. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to allow the power of God to be set free in your life, he will begin to bring benefits and enrich your life. I find in Daniel, there was three Hebrew boys. Excuse me. There was three Hebrew boys that refused to bow to a graven image. We find that King Nebuchadnezzar there, grabbed him up, said, "You made me mad, so I'm going to burn you. We're going to crank that fire up 7 times hotter. And I'm going to get my strongest men, his mightiest men." The scripture lays this out, that he gathered his mightiest men, his greatest warriors, to throw them in the fire. That fire getting that hot cost that king his greatest heroes. Let me tell you something. Whenever the king is set free and he is unshackled inside of you, everything the enemy begins to throw at you, and when the power of God will not allow them to walk away unscathed, but instead he will consume them, he will break them in pieces. I'm here to tell you what happened is, as them boys were thrown in, that king looked and he said, "Lo, I see 4 men in that fire, and they're walking about and they're not consumed, and one of them is the Son of God." I'm here to tell you tonight, when that king is unshackled inside of you, when you're in the midst of the fire, he's right there, and you won't be hurt, because he is the one that's going to take it for you and carry you through. And when you go out the other side, there won't even be the smell of smoke upon your clothes. The only thing, oh Holy Ghost, the only thing that's going to be removed is the binds and the bonds that the enemy tried to bind you with. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you would begin to stir yourself on this Sunday night and say, "Lord, where is it I've got you shackled? Because I'm coming to open the door. I've come to see it free." Hallelujah. I want you to take 30 seconds and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I find it wasn't just in Daniel where he loosed the bands upon someone. I find also in Joshua, as Joshua was facing Jericho, and he seen a man, he called to that man, said, "Are you for me or are you against me?" He said, "Neither, nay, but I am the captain of the Lord's host, and I am now come." And Joshua fell on his face and worshipped and said unto him, "My Lord, what saith my Lord unto his servant?" You talk about throwing all the chains off. And he worshipped him. Oh, he'd only felt, he'd only sensed the power of the presence of God as he sat at the door of the tabernacle, saying, "I just wish, Brother Jason, I just wish I could go in. I wish that the power of God would give me that honor to experience him." We find that Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." And Joshua always had to stay just outside. But I'm here to tell you right then, he got a one-on-one encounter with God Almighty, with Jesus Christ. Amen. And what began to happen from that point forward? The Lord spoke to him and said, "Take off, loose your shoes." I mean, there's some things that we're carrying around with us that God's going to ask us to move because we're too comfortable with them. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. He said, "The place where you're standing is holy." God is calling us to a new position in this camp meeting, in our church services that we've been having. You need to look at your neighbor and ask him, do you got your keys ready? Do you got your keys ready, Brother Titus? Brother Kennard, are you ready to unlock that lock and let the chains fall off? I tell you, the enemy's trying to bind some things up. Brother Noah said he wasn't coming. It's the enemy trying to cinch the chains down. I had Brother Isaac looking for chain because I was going to rattle it this whole time. He said, here I come. Yeah, here I come. Sometimes we still hold that old padlock that gives him the access to lock down our worship, our praise, our just simply our energy, the energy to put into the service. I'm expelling a lot of energy right now. It's hot. I'm sweaty. Does anybody want a hug? Come here, Arian. I'm teasing. He comes gathering the chains to bind up anything that will give him any excuse. What I find is they've got to be loosened. They've got to be tossed off. And I'm fixing to wind this up here in just a second. We find in Luke chapter number 3, John made this statement. In Luke he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one mightier than I, cometh that the latch of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloosen. Grab a hold of this. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and prayed, the heaven was open, the chains fell off, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Let me tell you something. Whenever you unloosen the chains, you unshackle the King inside of you. There is a voice that's going to come forth, and it's going to speak to you. Brother Titus, will you listen, and will you go up and get the flag? Young ladies, will you listen and worship in the way that he is calling you to worship? Will you pray? Will you move in? I find in John, there was something loose in John. We find the story, very familiar story. Anybody know who Lazarus was? Lazarus died. And Jesus was how many days late? How many days? Sometimes we ain't willing to wait on Jesus for an hour. We find that he told his disciples, can you not pray for an hour? Can you not hang? new terminology. Can you just not hang? What's the deal? We find that Jesus was 4 days late. And he walks up on the scene and he shows to those two sisters that defeat was here. Because he wept. But he told them, hey, there's going to come a time. He's fixing to come back. Oh, yeah, Lord, we know. But you're still late. There's sometimes that because it doesn't happen right when we want it to. And I want to take a moment. I want to teach to you for just a second. There's sometimes in a service that the Shekinah glory comes through here like a wave. And it impacts so many people, but it didn't impact you the way you wanted it to. So you put your coat back on. I'm just done. Yes, they're going to get blessed, but I'm not. But then all of a sudden, Brother Jason, there's a second wave that comes. But because we wasn't waiting for that second move, we wasn't preparing our hearts. Brother Kennard, what we've done is we've taken the chains. We've bound up the presence and the power of God, saying, well, it ain't going to happen till tomorrow night. I'm just done. We'll go and I'm going to go serve my food. And I'm not going to be happy about it. because God didn't move for me. I've done it. We all have. I'm not saying it like that. I'm being expressive. Brother Matthew, what happens is we tie God's hands up and we say, you're not moving for me tonight. You're going to be tied up. And God comes back by. And then all of a sudden we're still tied up. And somebody else is getting blessed. And then we have remorse. We're sorrowful. But instead of opening the chains and going down, this is what's got to happen when those times happen. We got to unshackle the king and we've got to go down to the altar with a repentant heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And what I find, Sister Pepper, in the moments that when that has happened to me and I've went to that place, that all of a sudden the glory came down and filled my soul, and it was sweet and it was rich because that King of Glory could come in, hallelujah, and I could begin to worship and be filled with the Holy Ghost fresh and new. Sisters were so negative. Too late. Didn't come when I wanted you to. We find that he goes to that tomb. Roll the stone back. It's not too late. And he called for him. And he come out. And he told him, loose him and let him go. I'm here to tell you tonight that you got to make that determination and your mind up. Lord, I'm going to let you loose whatever it is that's keeping you bound. I want to set you free the way that you want me to be. I find that it wasn't the only time. Another place in Luke, there was a woman that had an infirmity for 18 years. And she was bowed low. And he seen her and he said, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. I want to take a moment here and I want to speak to all the young ladies and the women of the church. Amen. The things that the enemy will bring against you, that he'll tell you, well, you can't go into the kitchen, or you have to go into the kitchen. You can't stay in service. Even though God wants to do something, you've got an obligation. I'm here to tell you, give God a chance and unloose yourself for a moment and see what God will do. States here, he that committeth sin is of the devil. I want to ask us all to be real honest with each other. How many in here has ever sinned? Okay. Look at the person next to you that raised their hand. Say hello, devil. That's what it says. He said, it's of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. This is where the exciting part happens. For the purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Do you know what that word destroyed right there means? If you look it up in the Greek and you look at where it came from, it's a root word that comes from the word loose. He came that he might undo and untie all the works of the enemy against your life. I'm here to tell you tonight that God Almighty seen fit to reach down from his glory and set us free. He seen fit to loose us from the devil's hold. He seen fit that we might become sons and daughters with royal blood flowing through our veins. I want you to stand. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you with this closing scripture in Galatians 6. I know we're going through Galatians in Sunday school. I think you've reached this part yet. I'm getting to the good part. It says in verse number 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I want to encourage Calvary Lighthouse Church. Don't be weary. Quit carrying your chains around. Here tonight, at this service, at the close of this service, you can unshackle the King. But you have to do it for yourself. Sometimes we struggle with infirmities in our body and in our mind. We have problems. Now, what I want us to do before we come to this altar, I want you to grab a hold of your problem. Find it. Yeah, not Isaac. He's my problem. He's Robert's problem, actually. Find your problem. Sister Pepper, what's your problem? Find it. Find the problem that you've left unshackled in your life. Bring it to this altar. Bind it and place it there. And when you place it on the altar, Brother Tim, when you bind that, you have to unlock him. Otherwise, when you leave that place where the fire is, if you don't take him back with you, you're no better off than you was when you came. And I'm going to do an altar call a little different tonight. When every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody peeking around. I know when the preacher says that, there's always one of you that's got a squinting eye. Just see who he's talking to. I want you to search your heart. And I want you to find what room you've put Jesus in. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, this altar call is for you too. This is the place where you can have that freedom of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to come first. If there's something, don't matter what it is, that you're fighting with and that you're struggling with and that you need God, you need Him to work in it, and you're ready to unshackle Him so that He might work therein, I want you to come to the altar first. Come on, real quick. I know the Lord's dealing in your heart. Now this next one is for those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost. It's time that you unshackle and serve notice to the enemy and say, "I'm ready. I'm ready for more." Wait, there's more that's coming. Come on. And now I want the rest of us, I want us to come up around the front of this altar, the front of the sanctuary, and I want you to begin to pray for yourself and make sure. Say, "Lord, double check my heart. Lord, make sure I have unshackled you." And what I want you to do is, when you've reached that point where you are free and you know He's free inside of you, I want you to turn to the person behind you, beside you, in front of you, and I want you to begin to intercede for them. But don't do it until first you've made sure that He is free, that King is unshackled inside of you.